Well, I'm going to be looking at the last verse again today that I read to you in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. When I read to you in verse 15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. A while back, my grandson and I had walked into a department store, and we could not help but notice the Halloween stuff on the shelves, and right next to them, all the Christmas stuff on the shelves. That's the stuff the stores usually put out early, real early, actually months ahead. This was actually just a few weeks before Halloween in October. So we walk into the department store, and there on the shelves is a bunch of Halloween stuff for Halloween. And then right next to it is a bunch of Christmas stuff. Me and Malachi looked at each other, and we came to the same conclusion. There's Halloween, and there's the Christmas stuff. I guess we'll just skip Thanksgiving, Poppy. It seems that's the case, isn't it? Just people in this day and age would just as soon skip Thanksgiving. And just the stores would just have you focus on Halloween and go right straight to Christmas and buy all their stuff. It's not surprising because Paul told Timothy, in the last days, an unthankful heart would be characteristic and descriptive of the world society. They will be unthankful. 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 2, if you want to read that for yourself. It seems people would just as soon skip Thanksgiving because actually there's nothing in it for them except for some food. It's supposed to be a time when people remember our history, to be thankful for our freedom and the great cost that it took to have that freedom. And then I was studying, and I really was studying to return to Matthew and to pick back up our verse-by-verse exposition in Matthew chapter 6. I was immersing myself in that text of Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 34, which is part of Jesus' sermon concerning the priorities of life, what we possess, whom we serve, what concerns us, and what we seek after. As I was studying that passage of scripture in Matthew chapter 6, and I was realizing that Jesus was primarily speaking to his disciples about being kingdom representatives until the Lord comes and gets us home and brings us to glory. How he's teaching them how we can let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. I realized Jesus is speaking to those who are already in his kingdom. Those the Lord said, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Whom shall receive mercy and see God and be called the sons of God. Jesus is speaking to those in this text in Matthew who are in his kingdom of salvation. And Jesus is teaching his kingdom representatives how to live in the world and not be of the world because of their salvation in a way that represents their King and glorifies, as Jesus said, our Father who art in heaven. As I studied the upcoming text in Matthew 6, I couldn't help but see how being thankful for my salvation motivated me to want to apply what Jesus was teaching in that text. And that Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's teaching them how to be kingdom representatives here and now. He's teaching them about the priorities of life. And I'm thinking about the things, how I can apply this to my own life and preaching to myself. And I just kept coming across this very thing. I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm so thankful I'm saved. And I guess the Lord impressed that upon my heart for a reason. Because when you realize you're saved, there's this love for Christ that wells up in you for what he's done for you. Paul told the Corinthian Christians, the love of Christ constrains us. It's our very love for Christ that compels us. It's what drives us. It's what pushes us onward, our love for Christ. When we're overwhelmed and we look at the cross and see what he did for us and that love he has for us, it just kind of overwhelms us and causes us to love him back. And that love, Paul said, constrains us. It compels us, it drives us, it pushes us onward. And we do love him. But we only love him, the Bible says in 1 John 4:19, because he first loved us. It is the mere fact that he first loved us that produces this thankfulness that I'm talking about. I really believe that if true born-again Christians were to ever fully comprehend how and why Jesus first loved us, I believe that understanding would produce a love and a gratefulness and a thankfulness that would motivate us to be faithful and submit to our sovereign Lord in love and obedience. I think there's lacking in this day and age in Christianity a deep understanding of people's salvation, a deep understanding of the love of Christ and what he has for them. This is something that the Apostle Paul prayed the Ephesian Christians would understand. He prayed that they would be rooted and grounded in love, that they may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that she may be filled up with the fullness of God, Ephesians 3:17 through 19 records. This is my prayer for you, and this is how God moved my heart and my preparation this week to speak to you. I want to try to help you to get a hold of what got a hold of you in salvation. I want to help you get a hold of what got a hold of you in salvation that will produce this loving thanks that I'm talking about. As Paul said in Philippians 3:12, that I may apprehend that which I am apprehended of. I'm just trying to get a hold of what got a hold of me, he said in Philippians 3:12. Let me help you apprehend that which also you were apprehended of Christ in salvation. I want us to look at an aspect of your salvation that should cause thanks to come pouring out of you. This aspect of salvation, which is very much neglected in our teaching and preaching in our contemporary Christianity. And I want to focus on that aspect to help you to try to get a hold of what got a hold of you that would cause you to just pour forth this thanksgiving to God. And then this thanksgiving will be a time of overflowing thanks to the Lord from a loving heart. The Apostle Paul always magnified this truth. He could never get away from it. He always magnified this aspect of salvation. He could never get a hold of what got a hold of him. You know, he was on his way to Damascus to put Christians in prison, and the Lord Jesus showed up and knocked him off his high horse and took this persecutor and turned him into a preacher. He wasn't even looking to be saved. The Lord just showed up and said, okay, you're mine. And he can never, ever get past that. He could just gripped his heart, and it always motivated him. This is the aspect of the salvation that prompted Paul, that flooded his heart with love and constrained him and caused him to try to get a hold of what got a hold of him. That God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself. Ephesians 1:4-5 clearly says that God chose you before the foundation of the world, and he predestined to conform you to the image of his son. That's an aspect of our salvation we don't hear very much today. Jesus said himself, we are blessed of the Father to inherit the kingdom prepared for us from the foundation of the world. That was recorded in Matthew 25:34. Jesus said that himself. You're so blessed to inherit the kingdom. This kingdom was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Do you know that everyone who will ever be saved, their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world? Let me say that again. Do you know that everyone who will ever be saved, their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. That's recorded for you. You can read it yourself in Revelation 3:8 and Revelation 17:8. Read those passages of scripture, and it said that your names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Before God made one speck of dirt, he wrote a book. He put people's names in it. Jesus told his disciples in Luke 10:20, rejoice, your names are recorded in heaven. Just rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippian Christian elders to help a couple of women in the church to live in harmony. And he said, I want you to remind them their names are in the book of life. Just sit down and say, listen, ladies, your names are in the book of life. Let's look at the big picture. Philippians 4, 2 and 3, if you'd like to read that. Paul writes to the Thessalonian Christians, and he says, we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren beloved by the Lord. And here's why. Because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. He's saying, we always give thanks to you, beloved brethren of the Lord, because God, from the beginning, chose you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. That is something that we should always give God thanks for, isn't it? Isn't that something we should be thankful for? Because God has chosen you from the very beginning for salvation, that God chose you before the creation of the world, that God wrote your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Isn't that something to be thankful for? Aren't you beginning to be a little more thankful for your salvation? I hope so. Aren't you beginning to be just a little bit more thankful for your salvation? Paul told Timothy, listen, God has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which is granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. From all eternity. 2 Timothy 1:9. God saved us and he called us with a holy calling. And it wasn't because of anything in us, but it was only according to his own purpose and grace, which was in Christ Jesus from all eternity. Wow. The Apostle Paul made this connecting work of God and salvation, writing to the Christians in Rome. He writes, for whom God foreknew, he also predestined. And whom he predestined, these he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. Isn't that great? This golden link and chain that Paul set forth in Romans 8, 29 and 30, if you'd like to read that for yourself. As I said, Paul could never get over this fact. And he tried to hash out this doctrine and this theology and try to teach it to the Romans. Everyone whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life are intimately known by name by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Everyone whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world are intimately known by name by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. A predestinating plan was eternally decreed to conform them into the image of his Son, Romans 8:29 says. To bring them all the way to glorification. All the way from eternity past to eternity future. To do that, God had to create them in time. He set this eternal decree in motion. A plan before the foundation of the world. Names written in this book. God chose them. But now, he has to create the world and he has to create the humans that are in that book. So he does that in time. So what God had planned in eternity, he now fulfilled in time. Psalms 139 says, I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Thine eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in thy book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. Psalm 139, 14 and 16. I'm getting chicken skin just reading these passages. This is an amazing passage of scripture. You were created and chosen according to the foreknowledge of God. 1 Peter 1:1-2 says, you were chosen according to the foreknowledge of God. That's how Peter starts off his epistle. He doesn't get to two verses and he launches off into this truth. The Apostle Paul says this was a predestined call to salvation. This was a predestined call to salvation. This is how God saved us. This is how God saved us. God saved us with a predestined call to salvation. As I read to you, he called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which is granted in us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. As I read to you in 2 Timothy 1:9, Paul said, whom he called, these he also justified. That means saved. The ones that he called, these are the ones that he saved. The ones he called, these are the ones that he redeemed and regenerated and birthed spiritually into his kingdom. He did that to the called. Whom he foreknew, he predestined, and whom he predestined, those are the ones he called. And the ones he called, he saved, he justified. And everyone that he justified, he's going to glorify. I just read that to you. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies, Romans 9:33 says. Everyone who is saved will one day have a new glorified body like Christ's glorified, resurrected body. Philippians 3:21 says, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. That's a part of your salvation you haven't experienced yet. You were chosen before the foundation of the world. Your names were written in the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world. God created you and made you. And he wrote who you would be, the color of your hair, and who your parents would be, and how you would come into the world. And then he wrote your life out when there was not one day of it. And then in time, he came to you and called you to himself and drew you to himself through the gospel and the work of the Holy Spirit. And he saved you and justified you. And one day you're going to be glorified. It's a done deal. It's a done deal. God is God. He's sovereign God. And he will do just as he pleases and just as he said. We were intimately known of God in eternity past, before creation, in the eternal plan of God. Your created name written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Chosen in him before the foundation of the world to the adoption of sons. Isn't that something to be thankful for? That's an aspect of our salvation you don't hear very much of. That's the activity of God in salvation. That's the sovereign grace of God in salvation. In the predetermined plan of God for salvation, you were specifically, intimately, powerfully called with a holy calling, not just a general call. I can give a general call to a large audience with the gospel, the truth of the gospel, but the Holy Spirit makes a personal visit and begins to call that person individually with a holy calling because their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. And he begins to do a work of grace in their hearts with the message of the gospel. And he brings about this effectual inward call and births them from death to life, and their eyes that were blind are now open and they can see. The heart that was now stone and hard and rejecting is now living and alive. The spirit that was dead is now alive. and they come to Christ full of love and compassion and with mercy. That's an effectual holy calling. To be brought from spiritual death to spiritual life by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, Peter says in 1 Peter 1:2. God caused us to be born again according to his great mercy. The very next verse says in verse 3, God caused us to be born again according to his great mercy. 1 Peter 1:3. So we would be declared justified, forgiven. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1 says. Partakers of the new covenant in the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. Just anticipating glorification, groaning with all nature to be changed and everything be restored back to the days of Adam and Eve and the King come and set up his millennial kingdom. Knowing that God causes all things to work together for good to those that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28 says. The called. Paul told the Philippian Christians, I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you, that would be before and at salvation, will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. That day will be the day of glorification, when Jesus comes back and you get a brand new body, Philippians 1:6 says. He told them, it is God that works in you, both to will and do of his good pleasure. God started the work, he's going to continue the work, and God is doing what pleases him in your life, Philippians 2:13. What shall we say to these things? Paul asked in Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who can be against us? It's a rhetorical question. Nobody and nothing. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ, he asked. Nothing and nobody, in verse 35. In all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us, he states in verse 37. Nothing created, and he goes through this list, shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 39. You know why? Because it started in eternity past. He loved you in eternity past. He wrote your name down then, and then created you, and then allowed you to live a certain life at a point in time, came to you and drew you to himself and saved you and changed you. And now he is sanctifying you and setting you apart for holy purposes. And one day he's going to give you a glorified body. Nothing's going to separate the love of God in Christ Jesus for you. It's that love that constrains us. And so we say with John, we love him because he first loved us. There's a lot behind that verse, isn't there? We love him because he first loved us. From eternity past to eternity future, decreed with an eternal decree of grace to be chosen, called, saved, and glorified. Isn't that something to be thankful about? Isn't that something to be thankful about? If you're having a hard time being thankful this Thanksgiving, just think about your salvation. And then just think about when it started. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. You know it's God's will for you to be thankful? And that's why the apostles wrote down all this great doctrine about salvation. This is for you to know after you're saved. This kind of theology doesn't help you get saved. It's the gospel that people need to hear to be saved. But after they're saved, they need to know God's activity in salvation. And just how much Christ loved them. And this is something that should well up in the Christian, a thanks for being saved. It's God's will for you to give thanks in everything. Of all people on the planet, Christians should be the most thankful people the world has ever seen. We should be the most thankful people the world has ever seen. We really have something to celebrate Thanksgiving about. Of all people, of this time of year when we're going to have Thanksgiving, we of all people really have something to be thankful for. Right? Thanksgiving is a time people are to remember history and be thankful for their freedom that came at great cost. And I guess as America looks back at history and remembers the pilgrims and all that kind of stuff and the freedom that we when we left England and all that kind of stuff, it's a memorial, it's a time. But for the Christian, Thanksgiving is a time for us to remember our history. When God saved us and called us with a holy calling, and to be thankful for the freedom that we have in salvation because it came at a great cost. The life of our beloved Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That text that would sum up all of what I have just said, I read to you in 2 Corinthians 5:9-15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And I have been trying to describe it. What God did for us in Christ is hard to describe. And I've read verses verbatim to you so you can hear God's word specifically. The gift of salvation is hard to describe because we were so undeserving of it. And we know it. The grace of God in salvation is incomprehensible because we were so undeserving of it and we know it. The mercy of God in salvation is so humbling because we were so undeserving of it. And that's why it's grace and mercy. Like the Ephesians, oh, I pray that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled up to all the fullness of God, until it overflows into unceasing praise of thanksgiving. We finally fully get a hold of what got a hold of us. We finally can apprehend what we've been apprehended of. When we can finally let the love of Christ constrain us, and we get a grip of our salvation, it should overflow into unceasing praise and thanks to God for his indescribable gift. It is indescribable. The wages of sin was supposed to be the eternal second death of hell. But the indescribable free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Isn't that wonderful? This is why we come to church on Sundays. This is why we come on Sundays. To thank God for his indescribable gift of salvation in his Son, Jesus Christ. Singing praises to the Lord, you his godly ones, and give thanks to his holy name, Psalms 34 says. And rightfully so. Wouldn't you agree? To enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, Psalms 104 says. I think if you were able to comprehend a little bit about the depth of your salvation, about God choosing you before the foundation of the world and writing your names down in the Lamb's Book of Life and coming to you when you could not come to him and bringing you from spiritual death to spiritual life and justifying you and saving you from a devil's hell and giving you all the promises of heaven, we would be like the prophet who encourages us, the prophet Isaiah. Oh Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will give thanks to your name, for you have worked wonders. Plans formed long ago with perfect faithfulness. Isaiah 25:1. Great is thy faithfulness. He planned it in eternity past, and he brought it about in time. Plans from long ago that he perfected in time in your life when he saved you by his grace. Remember, for by grace you are saved, through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9 says. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Paul said, we are justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, Romans 3:24. It's a gift. It's a free gift. It's all grace. It's all mercy. It's all love. It's all his doing. It's all his doing. The part you had is when he brought you from death to life and you cried like a little baby who was born, an evidence that you were spiritually alive. And you came in repentance and faith and you followed Christ. So, as those who have been chosen by God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Colossians 3:11-13 says. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. And be thankful, he says in verse 15, a couple of verses later. Can you ever get over the fact? I know I can't. I contemplate it all the time. I'm like Paul. It just motivates me. Can you ever get over the fact that God chose you before the foundation of the world to save you for all eternity in heaven? Can you ever get over that? Can anybody ever really get over that? When you fully get your arms around that and grasp that truth, it is overwhelming. It is so humbling. It is so God-exalting and Christ-exalting. Why would he do that? Why would he do that? What a gift. Why would he give us such a gift, this indescribable gift? Why would he do that? Well, if you're wondering why God would do that for you, Ephesians chapter 1 tells us. If you want to turn to Ephesians chapter 1, I just want to show you very briefly before I conclude. If you look at Ephesians chapter 1, and look at verse 3. If you're wondering why God would save you by his grace and for his glory, look at Ephesians chapter 3. Paul writes to the Ephesians, he can't get two verses, and he launches off into this great doxology. Notice Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself. What great truth. I just shared that with you. You want to know why? Comma. According to the kind intention of his will. That's why. According to the kind intention of his will. Look at verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed upon us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. You want to know why? Comma. According to the riches of his grace. That's why. Verse 8. Which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will. Why? According to his kind intention, which he purposed in him. Verse 10. With a view to the administration suitable for the fullness of times, that is, in the summing up of all things in Christ, things that are in heaven and things on earth in him. Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined, and here again is why, according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his own will. That's why. Last verse. To the end, that we who were the first to hope in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. That's why. So we can just praise him. We can just, it was just according to your kind intention of your will. It was according to the riches of his grace. It was according to the kind intention which he purposed in himself. It was according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his own will. That's all. That's where you end up. God did it because he wanted to, because he's a God of grace and love and mercy. And he demonstrates that attribute by choosing you before the foundation world and writing your name down the Lamb's Book of Life, creating you, coming to you, saving you, sanctifying you, and one day glorifying you. Because that's the kind of God he is. That's the kind of God he is. It all should be to the praise of his glory. Thanksgiving is a good time to reflect upon your salvation. Thanksgiving is a good time to reflect upon your salvation. To the praise of his glory, Paul said. Paul said, I thank my God always concerning for you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus. And as your pastor, I read that verse and I say the same thing. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus. I look at you and I remind myself that God chose you before the foundation of the world. I look at you and I remember he wrote your names on the Lamb Book of Life before the foundation of the world. That he created you specifically at a specific time so he would come to you and save you. And I think of my Savior dying on the cross for you, that he loved you that much. Who am I but to just embrace you and love you and say, wow, I'm so thankful you're saved. I'm so thankful God loves you that way. I'm so thankful. Thank God always concerning you for the grace which was given you in Christ Jesus. Let's not be like the world. We'd just as soon skip Thanksgiving, just jump from Halloween to Christmas. It's not just a time to sit down to a large meal. It's not just a time to be around friends and relatives. It's a time to be thankful for all the blessings of the Lord in your life, especially your salvation. Especially your salvation. I wanted to try to help you get a hold of what got a hold of you in salvation. I'm going to try to help you get a hold of what got a hold of you in salvation. I hope you kind of got a hold of that just a little bit. I hope you kind of apprehended just a little bit for what you were apprehended of. And I hope it produced a loving, thankful heart to the Lord for his indescribable gift. Our God is a sovereign God. Our God is a sovereign God. Our God is a God of sovereign grace. And he bestows it freely on whom he chooses. His sovereignty chose you, saved you, is sanctifying you, and will one day glorify you. Even from eternity, I am he, says the Lord. And there is none who can deliver out of my hand. I act, and who can reverse it? Isaiah 43:13 says. The Lord says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Truly I have spoken. Truly I will bring it to pass. I have planned it. Surely I will do it. Isaiah 46:10. And he has in your life if you're saved. And you can look forward to being glorified one day. Amen. Let's pray. My Father, I have tried to encourage your people from your word about the indescribable gift that you have given them in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and how you saved them and why you saved them, and the kind of saving God you are, full of mercy, love, and grace. I'm thankful, Lord, that it was all planned. There was nothing left to chance. Nothing left of the whims of man. Nothing left that sin could diminish or exclude from your plan. Even the devil and all his demons could not thwart your holy purposes and plans that you promised to bring to pass. I'm thankful, Lord, that you're in control. and you're sitting on your throne, the crown upon your head and the scepter in your hand, you rule in the universe as it pleases you, and every one of your elect will be saved. Not one sheep will be lost. No one will slip through the cracks. Everyone's name that is in that book will come to salvation and glorification. What a great truth. May it grip our hearts and may we never forget it. And may it compel us, and motivate us, and push us on. And may that love from which we were loved cause us to love our Savior even more and to be faithful and obedient and keep his commands just to demonstrate how thankful and grateful we are for saving our souls. Just a small measure to show our Savior how much we love him and thank him for saving us. We thank you for this time, Father, we've had your word. Thank you for taking us by our hands and walking us through the scriptures and showing us your magnanimous, amazing grace. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.